Welcome to Valley Voices.
I'm Amy Haddon Marsh, your host. Valley Voices is underwritten in kind by Grassroots Community Network at grassrootstv.org. My guest today is Reba Winsinger, who is a part of the Days for Girls organization. Days for Girls began in 2008 at a time when other organizations were not talking about menstrual health or the key role it plays in eliminating poverty. Days for Girls teams around the world make washable, reusable feminine hygiene kits that last 3 to 4 years, and they distribute these kits with the Women's Health Education Training. Working to break the shame and isolation surrounding menstruation, Days for Girls has now reached 1 million girls in 123 countries on 6 continents. Days for Girls has over 1,000 teams, 60,000 volunteers, and enterprises in 15 countries. Reba Winsinger lives in Morrison, Colorado, and just returned from Sierra Leone on Africa's west coast, where she taught women to sew on treadle machines and distributed sanitary kits to hundreds of women over there. She works with many of the Days for Girls teams in Colorado and is always seeking new people to sew, or what she calls sewists and coordinators for new teams. Reba will be in Carbondale next weekend, August 17th through 19th, as one of the speakers for the first annual Compassion Film Fest and Symposium. Welcome to the show, Reba Winsinger.
Thank you so much for having me. This is an exciting opportunity to share Days for Girls with your listeners.
Well, can you start off by talking about your trip to Sierra Leone and describing where you were and exactly what you did?
Sure. We were mostly working in and around the Freetown area. We worked with women who had come in from the slum of Crewe Bay to learn how to sew so that they could form a sustainable business. One of the most difficult things that happens in Sierra Leone, being a very economically challenged country, there are very few jobs available. And so training women to have a skill is so vital so that they can break that cycle of poverty and become a valuable member of their community. And it was just very eye-opening. Incredible opportunity to get to go and work with the people there.
Well, Sierra Leone has been hit hard for decades with genocide and civil war, Ebola. How are those people? They seem to be resilient, but what gets them through all of this? I mean, these are huge traumas.
Yes, they definitely are. They are a very close community. We noticed that we had a mixture of Muslim and evangelical women within our group, and yet there was no fighting between the religions, but instead they love one another, they work with one another, and they support one another through their community. A lot of people have asked, like, why is there this huge slum in the middle of Freetown? And apparently the government has tried many times to find new places for these people to be, but they keep coming back because they work with each other in this community that they have created for themselves. And I really think that that's one of their strongest attributes, the way that they show love, respect, kindness to one another is really something we could all learn a lesson from.
Boy, I bet. And it's you were telling me the other day that this country is the poorest country in the world.
Yes, it is. And I tell you, just the sights, the smells, the sounds, very different from here in the United States. But just the people have such friendliness, openness, compassion for one another, true sincerity in helping one another. And even despite the circumstances that they're in all around all the time.
Boy, that must be really humbling to do something like that. You've been to other parts of the world on behalf of Days for Girls. Talk about your work in China, in other parts of Africa, in Belize and Haiti.
Well, this was the first time that I had actually traveled out of the country for Days for Girls, but the organization that we have here in the Littleton-Morrison area, we've been working for the past 2 years to make these washable kits. I work with a group of about 100, and so we have actually sent them with teams and groups who have traveled to all of these different countries to distribute the kits. And so I've lived vicariously through them, seeing photographs and hearing stories when they take these kits to various places. So that's been really, really exciting. Back in July of last year was the very first time that our team had distributed kits, and those were distributed in China. And that was just a very momentous, very wonderful thing for us to get to see those kits that we'd worked on for hours and hours in the hands of the women who ultimately needed them and used them.
So in China, there are women who still do not have access to feminine hygiene products.
That's correct. The women that received the kits that we sent over were in the northern mountainous regions, very rural communities. Definitely when I saw the photographs, it wasn't what I would have maybe expected to see China kind of look like. Even the clothing that the women were wearing, very wrapped up. It was very cold when they received the kits, and they just thought that these were the most wonderful thing. It just truly enables them to be able to go on about their lives without having the worry of kind of the mess of menstruation to deal with on a daily basis.
Well, talk about the kits. I mean, let's sort of dig into Days for Girls a little bit here. It's a decade old. It's 10 years old.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. And how was it started? I mean, how did it get off the ground?
Sure. It was started by a woman named Celeste who saw a need. She was working in an orphanage in Nairobi, and she was helping with clean water, bringing in food. And then one day this thought came to her, like, what are these girls doing when it's that time of the month? And so she asked the director, and he answered, nothing. They sit in their rooms. They sit on a piece of cardboard, on a piece of newspaper, and hope that a friend brings them food. But there was no provision for them to have any type of any care for themselves during that time. And so she at first thought, hey, why don't we just provide them with disposable product? But then quickly saw that that was not an option because there was nowhere to dispose of that product. Once it had been used, it ended up in the river, on the ground, in chinks in the fence around the outhouse. She said it was just absolutely horrible. And so the Days for Girls was truly just born out of seeing a need and working toward doing something about it. Celeste does not sew, but she was surrounded by a group of people who said, hey, let's try this. And so the kit that we make now has been through, I believe, 32 different iterations to become what it is today, testing, trying, evaluating, working with women who are using it on a monthly basis to make sure that it truly is a usable and practical product.
Well, why can't these women purchase disposable pads?
Sure.
Or things like that?
Right. In most cultures, disposable products are available, but one of two problems with them. Or probably more than two, but I'll address a couple of them. One being the cost. They can be very, very costly to purchase. Equaling one pad might equal the same amount of money that it might cost to purchase a meal. And so being able to, you know, needing obviously more than one pad becomes a problem in what are you going to purchase for yourself. Are you going to purchase food for yourself that day, or are you going to purchase a pad? And so most women are going to go ahead and purchase food with that money. And so that, and then again, the question of where do you dispose of it once it is used. The other problem being they don't have the same brands that we have here in the United States. And so many of the pads that are manufactured are very ineffective. They may only last 20 or 30 minutes. And so again, just having to spend the money on it and it being ineffective really becomes something that becomes very unusable for them.
Well, is menstruation in these cultures, is it sort of a I don't know, in some indigenous cultures, women on their periods are not welcome in certain places.
That is very true.
Is it?
Every culture, yes, every culture is a little bit different. In India, for example, a woman that's menstruating is considered impure. Even going to a shop to buy any type of supplies for menstruation is considered shameful. There are signs posted outside of their religious institutions that will not permit a menstruating woman to enter. She can't touch certain foods. She can't eat certain foods. She can't even sit at the table with her own family members because of her uncleanness. And so, like I said, every culture is a little bit different. In some African cultures, you're not allowed to step through a doorway. You're not allowed to bathe in the river. There's so many different things surrounding that time of the month that just makes it shameful, that makes it humiliating, and so therefore it is very hidden away.
So what do these women do if they don't have feminine hygiene products? They just sit and...
That is so true. I have a friend that just distributed some kits for us in Tanzania, and I had asked her, what do the women, what are they using in your village right now? And she is very, very rural village. And she said, Reba, you do not see the women during that time of the month. She says they are in their hut. They are free bleeding. And anybody would know. And so they do not even go out to cook food. You just don't see them. She says if they get very desperate, they have to go out of their hut for some reason. She says they'll fashion almost like a diaper out of like a plastic grocery sack and perhaps stuff some rags or something in there so that they can go out. But even keeping themselves clean and everything in that process is just so difficult that most of the time women just are not seen. They're invisible at that time of the month. And so these kits, being able to provide them with something that is washable, reusable. Like you said, the kits can last up to 4 years with proper care. And so it enables a woman to, you know, put on a pad very easily, discreetly, so that no one does know. And they can go on about their lives and go cook outside their hut and go about their lives really as though that this isn't happening right now.
Boy, that's something that we, at least in this country, women in this country take for granted.
Oh, goodness,
it's just
yeah.
Run down to the store and grab what you need and come back.
Exactly.
And, oh, you know.
Exactly.
Geez, that's absolutely amazing. I want to
look. We are very blessed.
Well, we are fortunate here in this country, and we have choices. It's not just one product that we pick from. We have 5 or 10, and these women, and also, but before we move on, it's 4:43, and I want to remind listeners that you're listening to Valley Voices, and my guest today is Reba Winsinger. She's part of the Days for Girls organization, which is providing reusable feminine hygiene kits to women all over the world, and Reba will be in Carbondale on August 17th through 19th as one of the speakers for the first annual Compassion Film Fest and Symposium. So, Reba, what about health care in these little villages? I mean, are there doctors? Are there local cultural doctors, herbalists, or whatever? How do they approach a woman's period? What do they say to these women?
Again, that it does vary very much by culture. We've spoken a little bit about Tanzania. I could address it from that standpoint. In the little village that my friend lives, there is no medical care. Last year, one of the people got bitten by a poisonous snake and had to be transported by truck over 4.5 hours to get to somewhere where there actually was medical care available. So as far as menstruation care, again, if you needed to buy pads or something,
forget
it. Telling me you would have to travel that 4 hours, but it wouldn't be guaranteed that it would be there. She said if you wanted to go somewhere where you could guarantee that you could get pads or tampons, which would mostly be available for tourists, not really for the people. But she said you'd have to travel 13 hours to get a product that you might need. So, yeah, it's just very, very remote. But, again, it does depend area by area what is available, how close you are to a larger town.
Okay. So there are no doctors to talk to them about menstruation.
That is often very true. That is often very true. A statistic came out recently that in Iran, girls are so uninformed about menstruation. It's such a taboo subject that over 48% of girls have no idea what is happening. They think that they've contracted some type of a disease when they get their first period. And that's just because of either misinformation or no information that's being offered either by a mother, a school, a doctor. There's just no information. And so that's something that Days for Girls as a whole kind of fights against to train and teach women. We not only just hand out the kits, but we give a thorough health information that's very factual and very informative so that they can know what's going on in their body at that time, that it is natural, that it is normal, and it is a beautiful part of womanhood.
So it's almost like a little sex education for these women. How are they responding? You know, when you went over to Sierra Leone and you were providing the kits, you're handing out the kits and talking to them, what's it like? How do they respond to this?
They had just joy in their eyes. It was like, I think they just welcomed being that we had come to speak to women, that we had come to speak to girls, that this wasn't something else for men. Women are kind of the last of the society to eat, the last of the society to have any type of input. And so I think they were just very joyful that we were there. When they understood what it was that we were distributing, that we were giving them a kit that helped during their period, they cheered. It was
really?
We did three distributions over the 3 weeks that I was there in completely different area, three different areas, and at each one, when I showed how the what we call the shield snaps around the panty, kind of almost like a winged panty liner does here. When I showed that, they all just started clapping and cheering because you could see the light going on in their eyes, like, oh my goodness,
this is a life changer,
and this works. Yes.
Wow. That's amazing. That's just amazing. Something so simple.
Yes.
That makes such a huge difference. Can you tell that story of the woman who, that you told me the other day, I don't know what country she lives in, but she was the sole supporter for her family.
Yes, sure. Yep. That's also from my friend there in Tanzania. That's the story of Nima in Tanzania. She's a widow and had she just received her kit. So this is a very recent story, but she's a widow with five young children. And she earns her living by frying dough, like donuts, and going from village to village and selling those donuts. But when she's on her period, we've already discussed, she can't go out of her hut. She's not going to go cook them. And she has no way of making any income while she is on her period. And she goes hungry. Her children go hungry. Because there is no provision for them during those days. And so just, I guess just about a month ago now, she received a kit and she cried tears of joy. And she said, my friend said, you have changed her life because she can now go out during that time of the month. She can cook. She can still make those donuts. She can walk to all those villages and sell the donuts. Her children are not hungry. She is not hungry. And it's all because she has that pad that, doesn't leak and doesn't make a mess. And nobody has to know that it's that time of the month for her. And she is able to continue on. And she's so excited to have the kit. She has told us how comfortable it is and how it just has truly enabled her to just do what she needs to do.
Wow. That's, it's such a simple act of compassion, which is why why you will be at the Compassion Fest next weekend. So excited to have you here.
Oh, we're absolutely thrilled to be coming and again sharing the mission of Days for Girls with those there, because it's such an active way of reaching out with a hand of compassion to another woman who experiences the same hopes and joys as we do, but just definitely struggles a little bit more with certain things just because of financial means.
Well, what goes on, Reba Winsinger, what goes on in the United States? What happens on this end?
Sure. So here in the United States and in places around the world, we have large Days for Girls teams in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, England, places where the economic impact, we have more and we're able to give more. And so we as teams receive donations of fabric, panties, washcloths, soaps, and we physically sew the kits. Each kit takes about 4 to 5 hours to sew, depending on how skilled a person is doing the sewing. We kind of do it almost like assembly line so that we can make a lot of kits with the materials and things that have been donated. And we just, at least here in the Littleton area, we get together at least once a month to work on sewing components. And we have some sewists who choose to sew at home and then just bring the various components in. And then we also gather a couple times a year to do what we call packing parties, where we will actually pack full kits and get them ready to be distributed when we have a request. So right now we're working on getting more to Tanzania. We've distributed 50 of them there, and they're like, Reba, we want 1,000. And so we're working on getting 1,000 to them. Last year our team made about 800, and so this year we're hoping to make that full 1,000 to be able to send to Tanzania.
And then you send them over to Tanzania, and somebody distributes them from there, or do you?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. And then you decided to go to Sierra Leone just to help distribute.
Right. Well, we were requested by an organization who works in the Crew Bay slum, and they saw the need of the women there and asked if we would come and teach the women how to make the kits and distribute the kits as well. It always works best if you're working with an organization that's kind of already on the ground,
right,
that knows the need of the people, and then that way you can work with the local. We actually worked with something that's kind of rare there in Sierra Leone, but we worked with a woman chief who was just absolutely thrilled at the practicality of what we were bringing with us.
Well, we just have a few minutes left, Reba Winsinger, and but whoever's interested in this Days for Girls organization can talk with Reba on during the first annual Compassion Film Fest and Symposium that's coming up at the Third Street Center, August 17th through 19th. Reba is one of five speakers who will be presenting about their organizations on the 18th, but she will be around for the whole weekend. Reba, we just have a few minutes, but how are the men in these villages responding to this new empowerment for the women?
Most men are very open to their women being helped by something so practical. Again, there is a lot of stigma about talking about menstruation, about talking about the period, and so it very much varies kind of man by man. We do work with a lot of like chiefs of villages, and so they're very aware of what we're doing and why we're doing it, and they're just very grateful. And then, of course, you know, there are men that just really have a passion for this and really say, hey, this is something that we need to help women with. You've heard about the Pad Man in India?
No.
And you got to check. That's an incredible film. You got to check that one out.
The Pad Man. You've got about a minute to explain the Pad Man.
There's a film that recently came out about a man in India who saw the need of his wife for a better pad, and went about making a new kind of a new design and a new manufacturing process for disposable pads in India. And so it takes a very, very special man to embrace this part of womanhood. Very few men know a lot about menstruation or what's happening that time of the month. And so it's just something that if a man chooses to be more more informed, he certainly can be. And that's something that I think that at least here in the United States, I know I have no problem talking to men about this need. And I know that there are many men who do truly embrace helping their wives, helping their daughters, helping their girlfriends at that time of the month. And that's something I will always be grateful for, too.
Well, Reba Winsinger of Days for Girls out of Littleton, actually, she's based in Morrison, Colorado, and she will be here on August 17th through 19th and will be speaking about Days for Girls on the 18th as part of the first annual Compassion Film Fest and Symposium. Thank you very much, Reba, for your work, and we'll see you in a week or so.
Thank you so much. It was a delight talking to everyone today, and I look forward to getting to meet you.
Thank you. You've been listening to Valley Voices. Stay tuned for Pulse of the Planet.